Isaiah and chapter 14 is the reading, and we will take the first 14 verses. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, How hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, Since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? This morning we are considering a eulogy to movers and shakers. As we have pursued the introductory chapters of Isaiah's great prophecy, we have looked at various portions, and now we come to a portion, Isaiah chapters 13 down to 23, in which the nations are addressed, those nations beyond the scope of Israel. A very unique part of Isaiah's prophecy, as Isaiah continues to drive home the importance of holiness, that we are to be holy, we are to be separate from what this world values and treasures, because our God is holy and he is one of a kind. And as Isaiah presses home also the whole matter of servanthood, essentially the two questions are, what will you be? Will you be holy as the Lord is holy? And secondly, whom will you serve? Will you serve the Lord God who has made this world? Or will you succumb to the allurements, to the enticements of all of the other things that call out to us. Isaiah is not alone in speaking to the other nations. And we might wonder, Isaiah, you are there in Jerusalem, and you are called to speak to the Jewish people, leadership and common people alike. Is that not enough? The question is not to be put to Isaiah as to whether he thinks that he has enough to do. The question is rather to be put to God, because Isaiah was simply the spokesman. He was the mouthpiece for what God had to say. So we direct our question away from Isaiah, and we direct our question to God. God, what is going on here? Are not the Jews enough for you to deal with them in their stubborn rebelliousness? How is it that you need to have a word to the nations as well? And we come back and we realize that it was not simply the Jews who were God's people, though he had entered into a special covenant relationship with Israel. And he wanted to pour blessing through Israel. You read this in Genesis chapter 12 as he calls Abraham. And he says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And through you, you are the pipe, you are not the pot, you are the channel, you are not the reservoir, but you are the channel through which blessing will flow. So here we have Isaiah charged to preach to the nations, and you say, but they're not going to listen. That is not the point. Whether they listen or not, they need to hear the word of the Lord, and that word comes as a burden, as a burden. Some translations simply say the word of the Lord, but essentially there is more than just a word. That word is a heavy word. It is something that is weighty. It is something that comes as gold is heavier than other metals. It is something that comes as a treasure which needs to be delivered and which needs to be paid attention to. For if people do not listen to the word that comes in the burden that is proclaimed, there will be a heavy hand of judgment that shall come later on. Now, in this section that we are dealing with here between Isaiah 13 and 23, think with me about this. Isaiah chapter 13 begins, the burden of Babylon. Chapter 15 begins, the burden of Moab. Chapter 17 begins, the burden of Damascus. Chapter 19, the burden of Egypt. Chapter 21 begins, the burden of the desert of the sea. Chapter 21, verse 11, the burden of Duma, that is Seir. Chapter 21, verse 13, the burden upon Arabia. Chapter 22 begins, the burden of the Valley of Vision. And chapter 23 begins, the burden of Tyre. Here, Isaiah is sent to address those immediately around about Jerusalem, those who Jerusalem and the Israelites might think, we can go to such and such and either negotiate or call upon them for help. But God's hand was not simply upon the Jews and upon Israel and upon Jerusalem. It was upon each of these for judgment because they were refusing to walk in God's ways. God has a claim upon each and every person in this world, whether they want to hear about it or not. And so we send forth the word. We preach even to those. We send the gospel to those who say, thank you very much for your kindness, but give us absolutely none of that. And they would say, tripe. They would say, nonsense. But the world needs to hear, not because people want to hear it, but because a higher authority has said, this is to be proclaimed, every soul is mine, all of the people which I have created in this world, and created he has, they are all mine. And so Isaiah, it's not a matter of, Isaiah, do you have enough work to do? Isaiah had more than enough trying to speak to the Israelites and to the king who wanted to shut him out. He had more than enough to do. But God says, these others also need to hear my word. They need to hear that I am calling them to holiness, that I am calling them to be servants. Will you listen? Will you listen? For someday, listen, you certainly shall. In Philippians chapter 2, and undoubtedly you've heard this verse over and over again, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. Here in the Old Testament, God is calling people to acknowledge him and to bow before him, to give him the rightful heed that he deserves. Who will listen? Who will listen? I've especially selected chapter 14 as a representation of this entire 11-chapter portion of Isaiah, as Isaiah speaks to the nations, because Isaiah pulls back a veil and we see into eternity and we see something even greater than the potentates of this world. In chapter 14 and verse 12, we read, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Bible students for years have seen here that Isaiah is not simply addressing the king of Babylon, although there is a double meaning here, but that there is also something that is taking place, and that Lucifer, that chief angel in eternity past, who rebelled against God, that Isaiah is speaking and describing what took place there. In verse 14, Lucifer, who said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. And what was the temptation? That Satan, who Lucifer became, what was it in the Garden of Eden that Lucifer brought to Adam and Eve and said, you shall be like the Most High, knowing what is good and what is evil? It was that very thing which had allured him that he now dangles before God's creation and says, God is holding out on you. There is more that you can attain to. I will be like the Most High. First of all, God speaks. And we ask the question, who will listen and who should listen? First of all, there is Lucifer and the fallen angels, those one-third of the heavenly host who were swept away with the dragon's tail and who fell from their privileged and holy place. Lucifer, you would not bow. Angels, you would not bow, but you took a second choice. You took a foolish road. And now there is no redemption for you. You have fallen from your high and lofty place. You would not bow and see what takes place. Secondly, we come in this chapter and in this entire section as the nations are being addressed, we come and we ask the question of the nations. Now, these nations, each of them, were very significant. They were movers. They were shakers. They were people who made the other nations tremble. Whether we consider Babylon in its pinnacle, whether we think of the Assyrians or Moab or the Syrians of Damascus, whether we think of the great days of Egypt or whichever people we come across, these were movers and these were shakers. They shook things up in their own country, and they in like manner made others tremble. When the king of Babylon is described as coming into the place of the dead, we read very interestingly how that the dead are pictured as welcoming him. Verse 10 of Isaiah 14, "And they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us?" We think of the great notables of history. We think how that Hitler caused such terror. We think of various communist dictators of the past decades. We think of Stalin. We think of Genghis Khan. We think back to Napoleon. We think back to Alexander the Great. We think back to the Caesars. We think back to Tiglath-Pileser. We think back to the pharaohs. We think back to Assurbanipal. We think back to Nebuchadnezzar. All gone. All gone. Who caused the nations to tremble? Who caused such fear and panic in people's hearts? Oh, what a lesson this is for us today, that those who previously so sought to shake this world and to mold it in their own image and to leave their indelible stamp upon it. A few weeks ago, I was speaking with a good friend who has tremendous abilities in a particular field, and he was moving from one location to another, and I said, "Who will they ever find to fill your place? I consider that you are irreplaceable." And he very humbly said something to me that I have thought about again and again. Graveyards are full of irreplaceable people. Now that's humbling. It's very humbling, but it's true. Hear these people, hear these leaders, such as the king of Babylon, such as the king of Assyria. Isaiah comes, and though from a distance he points his finger, he says, "You shall also be laid low. Will you bow? Will you yourself and realize who you are before the living God who shall dwell for all eternity?" Isaiah chapter 6, we considered how that Isaiah was called on the very knife edge of the nation grieving the passing of King Uzziah. But in that first opening portion of Isaiah chapter 6, when the earthly throne in Jerusalem was vacant, Isaiah lifted his eyes and he saw that there was still God upon his throne and that all was well. All was well. Number one, Lucifer and the fallen angels, they would not bow. Secondly, the nations. Isaiah is asking the question, will you bow? Will you recognize your place? Thirdly, the Jews. Isaiah would come and he would seek to reason with them. He would seek to plead with them. He would be a drama lesson to them. He would walk among them. He would intercede on their behalf. Now, here were people that were not the nations. They were not foreigners. They were not what some would call pagans or heathen. They were people who had a special relationship with God, who had been called by God to a particular purpose and role. They were to be priests. They were to be, in fact, a whole nation of priests. And what does a priest do? A priest is one who represents the people to God. And so God had said, look, I want Israel to be the people, to be the very nation that is my connection with all of these other nations. The Jews had a desperately difficult time with this at certain segments of history. As we think of Assyria, and as we think of the capital of Assyria, during this particular time of its pinnacle of height and power, we think of Jonah. And we think of Jonah being sent to that very capital with a word of judgment. And Jonah, the Jew, preacher for the Lord, he says, no, I don't want to go there. I just don't want to go there. I am not going there. God, they do not deserve to hear your word. They do not deserve any kind of mercy that you might extend to them. They do not deserve any kind of warning. Just obliterate them and let's get on with it. The Jews, we ask them through Isaiah, will you bow? Lucifer would not bow. The nations, they are also deaf. But you who have been hearing the word of God, will you continue in your stiff-necked approach? Will you continue in your rebellion? Or will you heed the word of God? Will you heed the gentle call of God who has come to plead with you? Who has come to plead and to say, will you not listen? Will you not come to the waters and drink? Will you not slake your thirst where it ought to be cared for? Why, oh why, oh why will you go running off to Egypt, to Assyria, to seek help from the Babylonians or from any other place? Why will you not come to the fount of living water? Now, it's one thing for us to point fingers at others, most especially for us to point fingers when it's over many centuries and to say, look at those people, how foolish they were, how utterly stupid, how rebellious, how stiff-necked they were, and to forget that we are cut of the same cloth. Here we have Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 11, for example. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. Every man, every woman, their pomp is brought down to the grave. I've stood around many very notable tombs. Just in the past week, it was my privilege to be there in London, England, and to stand by the grave of John Bunyan in Bun Hill Cemetery. Many great graves and monuments have been set up in this world. In 2001, it was my privilege to go into Lenin's mausoleum, something that I had wanted to do for years and years as I had studied Russian history through university and was intrigued by certain aspects of it. I very slowly walked into Lenin's mausoleum where he is laid out. I suspect there's more wax than actual Lenin left now, but he is laid out, and from a distance you are able to see and you are able to walk around him. guards ever pushing people on that they not linger. But how the mighty have fallen, how those who shook the world, how those who terrorized the world have come all to one place. One day that will be you, and one day that will be me. Maybe today. The question that God asks, that Isaiah presses home, will you be holy? Who is it that you will serve? Will you bow to the one to whom you ought to bow? Fear not the rattling and the shaking of this world. Greater by far is he who by his Spirit dwells within you, and that there need be no fear of what this world would want to present to you and shake before you. Come before the Lord and come before him only and know his abiding peace. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Lord, we give you thanks that you are a great and a mighty God. You are the one who has created this whole world and every person herein. And every person has an obligation to you. Every person has you as their master, whether they live as a fighter, as a terrorist, as someone who is in rebellion against you, or whether someone who says, Lord, you are my Lord. I readily and fully and completely acknowledge you. Lord, may there be men and women here today who would say, I surrender to you. I will no longer live as one who is kicking and fighting and pushing away and seeking my own way, but I surrender to you. Clothe me in your holiness. Make me your servant. I will gladly bow the knee to you and to you alone. O Lord, so work in us, among us, and through us, that your name would be ever more praised, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.